Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Good morning, beautiful people. Happy Easter. Coming to you live. I'm supposed to be out on a beach down the street from here, but I'm coming to you live from the Westin Hotel in Jekyll Island. We are on meditation weekend number 14, and we had our sunset meditation last night, and it was wonderful. And the plan was, I think the sun rises here 7:55, so the plan was we're supposed to meet on the beach at 6 o'clock. We're going to do a sunrise service and a water baptism. I've been up since 4:30, and it's been like raining and lightning really, really bad. Now, I just walked out there on the deck, and now it's completely stopped. I thought, really? Seriously? You wait till 6 o'clock to stop? But I'm sure it's really wet out there. So what we're going to do is give it a couple of hours to sort of blow over and dry off, and probably meet out there at 11:30, and we'll do the baptism. The reason I'm in Catholic priest drag is I, on the way down here, stopped in Darien, Georgia, to do a wedding. It was an outdoor wedding, and I used to wear these kind of shirts when I did a lot of ministry in Africa and Latin America. That were short-sleeved, and you can only find them with the Catholic collar. And sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes I actually like to wear it. And so I planned on putting it on this morning to baptize in. And so I'm assuming this is what I'll have on in a couple hours when we meet out there. You know, we've done, this is our 14th one of these meditation weekends, and I think our fifth time on Jekyll Island. And We've just had, every time we've been here or anywhere, we've had amazing weather miracles. In fact, the last time we were here, which was for number 10, I believe, in the afternoon, they were not predicting rain. I'm watching the weather, and they said a hurricane with tornadoes. Hurricane with tornadoes is on its way. And I wasn't freaked out about it, but I was like, okay, this isn't good. We're meeting outside at 6 a.m. And my friend Howie was he was with me, and he's like, you're going to get a miracle. I've known you since you were 18. You always get a miracle. I watched you call your stuff off the bottom of the river. It's nothing to worry about. And sure enough, at 6 p.m., It was like a movie set, all right? In the clouds, bring in the sunshine. Well, this time it didn't happen, and it's not... good morning, all y'all. I'm seeing you on here. Leslie, Winifred, Rhonda. By the way, can I just say, all of you meditation weekend people, you're so sweet and optimistic, because I know you took time off and spent money to travel here, and this morning when I messaged everybody, I said, it's just raining too hard outside, we can't do it. Everybody's like, it's gonna be great. You know, it's awesome, and it is gonna be. I'm surprisingly okay with this. I mean, I'd love to tell you that I walked out this morning at 5 and commanded the rain to stop, and it did, but that's not what happened. So I have to, when a thing doesn't turn out exactly the way I'd originally visualized it, I have to say, all right, well, this must be a teachable moment then. And I think, I mean, I'm sure I'll process this more, but I think what I'm feeling in my, in the center part of me is, it's not even about arrogance, you know, getting cocky about having such a good mojo with the weather, but sometimes your miracle or the thing that you want doesn't look exactly like what you thought you wanted. I love that verse in Ephesians 3:20 where he says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. And so sometimes what you think is best case is not necessarily best case. So anyway, it's all good, and the plan is, I was going to go check it again, but it seemed, I walked out there a few minutes ago and it had already stopped. So I think we're good to go. And for those of you that I'm going to baptize, I will see you out there shortly. But I'll go ahead and give a word while we're here. And I see so many of you are, hey, Greg, I know this is, Greg, you got your first time down here. They're not always like this. As a matter of fact, even last night was very different. We've never had the tide come in so quickly. So we set up our little camp thing, and Avery had the, she had put together, yeah, you're right, BJ. It is, you're exactly right. But we set everything up. She had the little communion table, and I think we had to get up and move like four times. And that part of, we were on Glory Beach. It's called Glory Beach because the final battle scene in the movie Glory that Denzel Washington won the Best Supporting Actor for, it was filmed there. And even they're filming the musical version of The Color Purple right now, and they just filmed some of it there too. But when we were here before, we were a little further down the beach, and it was, no pun intended, it was glorious. Where we were last night was a little narrower, and I mean, when that tide comes in, it is not playing. It goes so fast. I thought, we're going to baptize everybody here in a few minutes. And I told him, you know, it was a little cloudy last night, and I asked the clouds respectfully if they would hold off. And they decided not to hold off. So I told everybody, I said, if it rains in the morning, it's because one of y'all was an unbeliever, like Jonah on the boat, and they had to throw him overboard. I'm just playing. Last night was really good, and Paulette Washington asked if she could sing a song, and it was just her, when she sang him, you know, I've been listening to Paulette sing for 25 years and haven't heard her in a while. And I thought, that lady can still bring it. And when she sang in the presence of Jehovah, it just, you know, there it was. And we're in a place, the people who are connected to me, we're in a place where we really are practicing yes and as opposed to either or. Like, there's many people here who are, frankly, consider myself post-Christian. What Western Christianity has become, especially in the last 6 years, I think I don't identify with that at all. If that's what being a Christian is now, and the way Christianity has become in America has become a political party, then no, count me out. I love Jesus, but that's not me at all, and I can't reconcile that with, I mean, crazy me. I've read the Gospels, you know, my whole life, and those words in red that Jesus spoke just do not line up with what a lot of people here in the West, especially in America, call Christianity. So, but that's also our, you know, that's our ground zero. And to be able to have that back, like even, I think Jeanette's online here, and she started singing, "Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place." Many of you wouldn't know that that's very significant, but she's one of those people, Jeanette, I don't think you mind me saying this, one of those people that, you know, kind of traumatized by Christian religion. And some people who are here at this, and who are just part of the Metron community, don't relate to church world at all anymore. But that's a huge part of our, you know, it's all in our DNA. And to be able to have it back, even bringing communion back. I didn't serve communion. Last Easter was the first time I've ever served communion at Metron. And today is going to be the, thanks, Jeanette. By the way, thanks for your card. I shared a picture of it. That meant a lot to me. I like that you called me your rabbi. Actually, you're not the first to call me your rabbi. There's a Jewish guy that used to come to the church, and I've told this lots of times, but he came into counsel with me about something else, and he said, "I just want you to know, I'm never going to believe Jesus is who you say he is." And he said, "I'm never going to receive Jesus as my personal savior." He was a little defensive. And I said, "I'm not trying to convert you. You made the appointment with me." And he said, "No, no, no." He said, I love what you do." And I said, "Well, how do you, I mean, I talk about Jesus so much and I minister so much out of the Gospels. How are you cool with that?" And he said, "I don't know. There's something about the way you talk about Jesus. It doesn't make me feel defensive." And he said, "I think of you," he's the first person that ever said this. He said, "I don't think of you as a Christian. I think of you as the leader of the new people." And when he said that, he said, "I'm saying that because," he said, "I call you my rabbi." He said, "But you're not Jewish either." He said, "I don't know what you are. You're like the leader of the new people." And I thought, okay, I'll take it. It felt like a prophetic word. So I received it. And the point is, I made it clear last night when I served communion. I said, "I don't believe there was an angry sky god that was having to be appeased by a blood sacrifice." I shared on my page last night, I shared something that Kay Fairchild posted about that, but why God didn't need blood sacrifice. And it was so, that I've never met her, but she's so faithful to this teaching and really solid and grounded in the scriptures. But, when Jesus was ministering, he said, "Now you're clean through the words I've spoken to you." The scripture was clear. Even David said, "You do not desire sacrifice or I would have given it." And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, "If there's any way, let this cup pass from me." Meaning, this is not what I came to do. This was not the original intention. Jesus didn't die for God. He died for us. So when he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you," he's basically saying, "I don't need this. There's no, father somewhere that needs this. You need this. And, this is in your consciousness. You're, like Paul said, you're alienated from God in your own minds." So because, which only makes me appreciate what Jesus did on the cross even more, because it wasn't, we would have been fine without it. When the Creator said, and I mean, no disrespect to the atonement, but when the Creator said to Adam, "Who told you you were naked?" That's a very flexible statement. That's like him saying, "Who told you you were fallen? Who told you you were separated? Who told you were less than? Who told you you needed a redeemer?" And because Adam perceived that he did, I was naked and I was afraid. Who told you that? So because the Creator had given, oh, thank you, Doug. I appreciate that. And I know you're on the page with me on this. Right before that happened in Genesis 3, the Creator had given Adam dominion. And he said, it's the scripture, Genesis says he brought the animals to Adam to see what he would name them. And whatever Adam called them is what God called them, or the Creator called them. So if Adam called himself fallen, the Creator had to call Adam fallen. If Adam called himself a sinner, the Creator had to say, "Okay, I don't see you that way, but I've given you that authority. So if you see yourself as a sinner, then I guess I'm going to have to treat you like a sinner." Even John, in his one of his epistles, he says, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence before God. So religion has made condemn ourselves. But, the same Jesus who looked at the woman caught in adultery and said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, I don't have any. And he says, "Well, you're good to go." He says, "Go and sin no more." But what he was saying is, if you continue to be adulterous like that, these misogynists are going to take you out of here. They're never going to get the man who is involved with the adultery. But Abrahamic religions are such a boys' club. They're so patriarchal. He said, these men are going to come out here and try to stone you again. But He says, I don't condemn you. The condemnation was lateral. It's not coming from a God somewhere. It's these other people who have a system in mind. And that's where the condemnation comes from. Like, even in my own journey, I've always known that God didn't condemn me. I had to deal with people who were had bought into religion, who identified God that way. Hey, Robert, I'm glad you're on here. I know you guys are having a service up there. I think that's awesome. I'm glad you're doing that. I love the, if you're around the Eatonton area, Chapel of Love, go check out, go to Robert Rutherford's page and you'll see his, the information about it. I'm assuming y'all are still doing that. But anyway, like if someone had asked me, you know, a few years ago, where are your accusers? I'd be like, they're everywhere. They're all on Facebook. They're in my email. They're in my text. They're in my congregation. You know, I'm surrounded by accusers. But I knew that never came from God. So I shared a song last night. It was from a musical that came out in 1972 called Celebrate Life. I've always loved this song. It's called In Remembrance of Me. And it's it to me, it's the most, what are you saying, love? It's Chapel of Love, right? Did I not say that? It's the most accurate communion song I've ever heard, because it says, in remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, I'm pitching too high. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done. And then it says, in remembrance of me, heal the sick. In remembrance of me, feed the poor. In remembrance of me, open the door and let your brother in. Let him in, which to me, that's about inclusion. The, you know, the brothers and the sisters that you've closed the door on because of your perceived theological differences, open the door. Communion is supposed to do that. It's lateral. It's horizontal. And then it goes on to say, take, eat, and be comforted. Drink and remember too, that this is my body and precious blood shed for you, shed for you. And then my favorite part is, in remembrance of me, search for truth. In remembrance of me, always love. And this is the best part. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart. In your heart, look in your heart for God. That to me is what communion is all about. When Jesus said, this is my body, he was literally referring to those 12 men around that table that he had a connection with. So really, anytime you get together with people, like-minded people, and you're having a connection with them that's spiritual, that's uplifting, where two or more are gathered together, it's communion. You don't need the elements specifically. So everybody got that. And even today with baptism, because I'm believing we're still going to do it, I'm not even, traditionally I always immersed people, but I'm not even going to do that today. I've got a, I have a beautiful shell that I'm going to sort of, I'm just going to do it differently. And that's the plan. So my point is, I love being in the now, being in the truth, without completely rejecting everything that I, you know, believed and preached for years. One of my favorite things that Jesus ever said was his parable, where he says the kingdom of God is like a man who brings treasure out of his house, both old things and new. That to me, that's my mantra. Like if somebody says, are you Pentecostal? I'm like, sure. I mean, it's just a label. But yeah, I mean, I believe, I practice the gifts of the Spirit. I get it. Are you Word of Faith? Yeah, everything I love from the learn from the Word of Faith movement, which was traced back to E.W. Kenyon, which was traced back to the Emerson School, which was mystical. I love all of that. Everything I learned about speaking to the mountain and the authority of the believer and the power of words. I still believe all that just as much as I ever did. Somebody says you're New Age or New Thought. That's not an indictment to me. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of my teaching that does sound very New Agey. You didn't find me out if you say that. I mean, I wear that as a badge of honor. And I love being in that place where I can be like remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, there's this guy over here that's doing miracles and doing ministry, but we didn't sanction him. He's not one of us. And Jesus was so cool about it. He said, if they're not, anybody that's not against us is for us. He didn't say, bring him in and let me test his theology. I don't want to be like the Christians that I've known my whole life, because I haven't seen a lot of Jesus. I've seen a lot of division. I've seen 46,000. thank you, Greg. I agree. And Greg has a similar history to mine, so that means a lot coming from you. It's 46,000 plus Christian denominations. 46,000. Thousands and thousands of division over 27 books of the New Testament. I mean, like in Judaism, you've got, you know, Orthodox, you've got, you know, maybe a couple, maybe three divisions. In Islam, you've got Shiites and two or three different divisions. In Christianity, thousands, 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 thousands. And that right there, to me, there's no other greater implication that Christianity system has to implode. The worst thing that ever happened to Jesus was Christianity. The last thing he would have ever wanted to do is to start a religion. And the fact that religions have been started in his name is the antithesis of the message of Jesus. You go back and read the Gospels, the only people Jesus ever cussed out was religious people. It was never, ever the ones that you would think, the ones that could have been bad for his reputation. He was never ashamed to be seen with them. I mean, you look at like the story of Zacchaeus, this guy was a known criminal, and Jesus in front of the crowd, he's the short guy that climbed up in the tree to see Jesus. And Jesus publicly goes to him and says, I'm going to your house today. I mean, he was not covert about it. And, you know, he lets a sex worker wash his feet with her hair and not only defends her, he sets her up as the example to the Pharisee and says, I know what she does. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven her because she loves much. And yes, you're right, Jeanette. Christianity equals division. It's like when Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he says, is Christ divided? And I'm like, yeah, he certainly is in the 21st century. Or not the real Christ, but the imagined Christ that self-righteous people have taken on. Like it's like Anne Lamott says, if your God hates all the same people that you hate, it's clear that you've created God in your own image. And I completely agree with that. When the more you have a revelation of God, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if you're becoming more opinionated and more judgmental as you get older, you're not walking in revelation. Because revelation, as you increase in it, as the dawn, you know, like it says in Proverbs, is like the dawn grows and grows until it's the brightness of noonday. The more you walk in that, the more loving you're going to be, the less defensive you're going to be, the more live and let live you're going to be. What religious people call being soft or compromising, it's being Christ-like. It's like Jesus. And I'm not going to read a scripture to you, but about Easter, I mean, the word Easter is not even a Christian word. It's a pagan word. It's the same root word as the goddess Ashtaroth. It's where we get the word estrogen from. The goddess of fertility. That's why in pagan rituals, it was celebrating springtime and the vernal equinox. And I think that's right. That's why you have eggs, Easter eggs, because it symbolizes fertility. And there's an Easter bunny because rabbits are synonymous with being very prolific, very, very sexual. So, I mean, the term Easter has its roots in sexuality and not virginity, but in reproduction. And so the Catholic Church Christianized all of the pagan holidays. And so like the winter solstice becomes Christmas, and so my followers know all this stuff. But the reason Easter doesn't come on the same day every year is because it's based on the moon. It's not based on the resurrection. Now this year, I think it's one of those times that Passover and Easter, or either Passover and Good Friday, happen on the same day. Sometimes they do. Like my birthday is April 3rd, and I remember both my 25th and my 30th birthdays were on Easter. So it's sometimes it comes in March, sometimes it comes later. Like I said, it's based on the lunar calendar. And I don't have any issue with paganism, so I don't mind using the word Easter. But when it comes to using the and even talking about Christian tradition, I may use it later today, but I have a whole playlist that I'd put together with my new JBL speakers as the sun was coming up, which we may still be out there. I mean, I haven't looked out on my balcony in a few minutes, but on my playlist, I've got Christ Arose, He Lives. I got Vicky Winans singing Because He Lives, Second Chapter of Acts singing Easter Song. I've got all, because I love all that stuff. I love Easter, and you know, when I was growing up, getting new clothes and going to church on Easter was a big deal. I'm not mad at any of that. It has nothing to do with Jesus, but it's a cool tradition that's part of my life. And I like to take all of those things that I practiced and believed and preached for. I mean, I just celebrated my 50th year in the ministry. I've been doing what I'm doing right now. I've done the majority of my life, certainly all of my adult life. And I don't know what number Easter message this would be. I remember, I always tell this every year, but some of you that went to church in the now, you remember Scott Pettit. He had an uncle who now is transition, but he came to church with Scott one year, and he said, "I like your bishop, but every time I come, all he talks about is the resurrection." And Scott said, "Well, you only come on Easter, so there you have it." You know, when it's Easter Sunday, you're compelled to have an Easter service sermon. I will say this about the Easter story in the scriptures. Like the nativity is only found in Matthew and Luke, and they're different stories. Matthew has the Magi, Luke has the shepherds. Mark doesn't even deal with Jesus' childhood. The narrative in Mark starts with, like, virtually the first time you see Jesus, he's casting demons out of a man in the temple. John is totally on another wavelength. He doesn't even deal with the natural world. He's like, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You start getting into all that, like in the Aramaic, it says, "In the beginning was willed action, and the willed action became flesh." I mean, that's some heady stuff. The resurrection story is in all four of the Gospels. You know, originally there were around 300 Gospels written. And when you go through church history, like the Council of Nicaea and Constantinople and all these, like little by little, these men of old winnowed the 300 number down to four that we have in both the Protestant and Catholic canon, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in all four accounts, the stories are completely different. The only common denominator in the story is that Jesus is resurrected in each of them. But like in one of the stories, there's, I think, two women at the tomb. In another one, there's a bunch of women. In one story, there's an earthquake. In one story, there's one account, there's angels. They're all different. And the reason I make a point of that is when people say the Bible is the Word of God, I'm like, no, it's not. It doesn't even claim to be. And how insulting to the Word of God. David didn't even know what a Bible was. And he walked outside and said, the heavens declare the glory of God. So if somebody says, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? I said, well, it's in there and it can connect you to it. But if you say that God could only speak through those 60 men during a 1500 year period who wrote those 40 books of the Protestant canon, the Catholic canon has the Apocrypha, so it's got another 13 chapters. But if that's all God could say and the canon was closed after that, then I don't think you've ever met God. Because God was speaking to me this morning, and I don't necessarily think it's an old Jewish man on a throne floating out in outer space, but there's something in me, the Holy Spirit, the force, it's God. It's that angelic voice. Like even this morning, or not angelic, but divine voice. This morning when I saw it was raining, I just said, all right, what do I do? And it wasn't any big profound thing. It was like what I heard was, it's fine. Just go do a streaming and it'll clear up later. I'm like, okay, good. I'm not upset about it. And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, most of you who are logged on here right now are, I'm not seeing any responses. I hope I'm still on here. Somebody's still there? Is this thing on? It sounds to me like y'all aren't that upset about it either. So, yeah, okay, I see somebody still on here. Good. Just making sure you're good with it. Yeah, Pam's good with it because she's getting baptized today. Pam, somehow today, as God is my witness, I'm going to baptize you. If we have to meet you somewhere for a private one. You're enthralled. Ed, you're so, how adorable are you? I love you. Oh, look at y'all. Cute, cute, cute. Hey, Paulette, you rocked it last night. One thing that was cool, we celebrated, Ken's turning, I'm not going to show you, he's right over there. Ken, you want to say hey to everybody?
Good morning.
That was happy Ken Easter. Coming, huh? He said happy Easter. That was him coming to you live from his bed. He's turning 60 this coming Tuesday on the 19th. And so we did a little celebration for him last night. And Winnie, I posted a picture of me praying for John and Winnie at meditation weekend number 12 in Chattanooga. And she was pregnant. And Rhonda says she can't see you, Ken. Yeah, you know. I'm not going to do that to him. But, he looks fine. You don't see that much of him. But I posted a picture of them when Winnie was pregnant. And then last night they brought young John and I was holding him up like the Lion King. And it was really cool. But so Winnie had texted me earlier and said, is there anything we can bring for Ken's party? And I said, no, it's not really going to be like that because we're going to be outside. And I didn't want Avery to have to put together cups and plates and all. It's too much stuff for down here. So we just basically did a symbolic cake and she ordered some incredible French macaroons from a French chef and they were incredible. But I said, text Avery and see if there's anything she'll tell you. And so somehow in that conversation, she said, well, what if we just sing Ken a song, which Paulette, he loves hearing you sing so much. You couldn't have given him a better. Is Paulette, who's here, and her sister Winifred, who's here, and her daughter Winnie, who's here, and the three of them sang, "Praise Him, Jesus, Blessed Savior. He's worthy of our praise." It was, and he was sobbing. So I thought, well, all right, he's good for his birthday. Like that's, that was excellent. And thank you to all of you that said such sweet things to him. And he really is. He is that sweet. We've been together 10 years now. And he's without doubt the sweetest man I've ever met. This morning when I got up, I said, because he wasn't quite up yet. I said, I'm just telling you, if the Spirit moves you and you want to make some coffee, don't quench the Spirit. And he did. I guess the Spirit got a hold of him because he made me some. Anyway. The point of what I was saying about the four Gospels is the truth of the resurrection, it goes beyond individual perception. As liberal as I am theologically, I still, you know, I'm never going to not believe the Apostles' Creed. Yeah, sure, I believe in a virgin birth. I definitely believe in a literal resurrection. I don't like when people make it religious. I got to tell you, where we originally were going to meet tomorrow, there's other churches down here that are doing their sunrise services and they're all set up and there's just, I don't know, I'm obviously not against the cross. I wear one every day. Of course, it means something very different to me, but it also opens up conversations to people who sometimes, you know, they're not mature enough to know what to make of me yet. But I went there and there was just like, they just said crosses set up. It was like they were setting up to ward off vampires. And there's something about it, I thought, I don't like this vibe here. So the plan is, we're going down the street a little ways where it doesn't look so religious. That is, let's see what it looks like in here. Oh, wow, it's beautiful out there now. Oh yeah, we're gonna be fine. That's fantastic. Look at that beautiful blue sky. It's not even sunrise yet. Yeah, people who are down here, I hope this does. I don't know that anybody specifically. Oh, it's clear now. See, we could have. When will I learn? But I want to give it a couple hours to kind of dry out a little bit because I'm sure it's pretty wet out there. But wow, look at that. I need you to look. Come on, Jesus. Won't he do it? Yeah, we're going to be fine. I don't think anybody has a flight to catch today, so let's plan on meeting at 11:30. That way you can go ahead and check out of your hotels and go ahead and pack up your cars and everything, those of you that are going back today. So as soon as we're through, you can just get on the road and leave. But if it's that nice out there right now, we should be fine. And we're going to be meeting at Ocean View Park in Jekyll Island. So this is good. I'm happy with the way this has turned out. I will say this to you before I close out. Let's see. Oh, thank you, Rhonda. It's always fine for me. Well, the thing is, if it had just been lightly misting this morning, I could. That's no problem. I've ministered in the rain before, but it was lightning really bad, and the you check out at 11. It'll work out fine. I'll give you plenty of time. Y'all can have breakfast and whatever, and then meet. It's going to be the best Easter service ever. But if it had just been lightly misting, I don't mind getting wet. That would have been fine. But the lightning, the pastor in me was like, I can't drag people out there with it lightning. And some of y'all are just crazy enough, you'd go out there with me. If I said, we're going out with the lightning, I think some of you would say, we trust you, which is why I got to watch y'all. Because even last night, every time we've done one of these meditation weekends, there always seems to be a significance to the number. Like, We did the ninth one up in Blue Ridge, Georgia. It was in January, so it was really cold. We were mostly inside, but we went outside in a field to have a few minutes, join hands in a big circle. BJ, who always comes here to do our photography, he was taking pictures with the drone. And we couldn't see it. We were down on the ground, but we were all talking about the number nine. And right next to us, when I say crop circle, I'm not trying to imply it was some supernatural thing. I don't know if it was a lawnmower that made it or whatever. You could not see it on the ground, but up above us, you see us in a circle, and there's a huge number nine right next to us. And we've had something like that happen just every time. At number 11, we were on St. Simon's, and as we were doing a gratitude list, a huge double rainbow appeared, like, right above us. I mean, it was, y'all, bear me out on this. Wasn't it the biggest double rainbow you've ever seen? It was just as people were reading their list of 11 things they were grateful for, and it looks like a big 11. And then last night, I was talking about 14, and several of you told me that a flock of 14 birds flew over my head, and they flew down the beach and back. You know, I accused y'all of just making stuff up because you wanted me to believe it, but I think you're telling me the truth. Wasn't it crazy, Pam? It was all inspiring. I'm sure rainbows happen down here all the time. I've been to Jekyll Island and St. Simon's my whole life. I've never seen one. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. And it's as we were doing the gratitude list, you could hear people on the beach just scream because it just came out of nowhere. And yes, it was the brightest too. Yeah, it was amazing. So last night, I wish somebody had caught the 14 birds on a
and it hadn't rained.
What's that?
And it hadn't rainbow show.
Oh yeah, that's right. Brother Marshall just said that the odd thing about that rainbow is it had not rained all weekend. Usually a rainbow happens after the rain, and the rainbow just appeared. So this morning when I saw it was lightning, I thought, well, the miracle's going to look different this time, but it's going to be amazing. So the thing I'll leave you with for right now, and then I'll see you guys in 2 or 3 hours. We should be golden by then. But did you count them too, Rhonda? 14 birds? Because I've heard it from several people. I got to hear from three. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Anyway, the great thing I want you to remember about the Easter story is even if you're in, like Jesus told his disciples, he says, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. He didn't say I'm going to hell. That whole thing about Jesus going into hell and duking it out with the devil, that's really not what the scripture says. I know there's a scripture that says he took the keys of death, and the word Hades was translated from the word grave. But there, this idea of Jesus going into fiery, you know, pits and fighting with a red thing with horns, that's mythology. But he did say, I'm going into the heart of the earth. And it was a fulfillment of the scripture that he was to restore or to redeem not those who were lost, but that which was lost. And he said, I'll be in the heart of the earth for 3 days, but I'll be back. You only had three little birds. Robert, go work on your Easter sermon. But he said, I'll be back. He prophesied his own resurrection. And I learned this a long time ago. Even if I've gone through something really difficult that's affected me emotionally or whatever, I can say, well, I'm in the heart of the earth, but I'll be back. on the third day I'll arise. And so you have to, yeah, it is beautiful out here, isn't it? You have to, I'm gonna walk out here. Let me show you. You have to prophesy your own resurrection. And when you say you're gonna rise again, you will rise again. So, you know, if today you're in the heart of the earth, don't get out prematurely. I mean, whatever process you're going through, let it run its course. But know that you will get back on your feet. The caterpillar will become the butterfly. You will rise again. You will live again. So, anyway, look at that. That is just gorgeous. So, maybe I'll get to do all my Easter songs on the playlist anyway. So, those of you that are down here, who are still here, I will meet you at Ocean View Beach Park at 11:30, and we're going to do our thing. For the rest of you, and, you know, I know there's a lot of Metron people that used to come to these that don't anymore, and I'm not exactly sure why. I've learned not to take anything personally, so I don't think it's about me, but I want you to know you're greatly missed. I texted people yesterday, tell them they were missed who didn't return the text, so I'm you know, whatever it is, if there's something we need to fix, let's fix it. And yet we had as big a crowd as we've ever had last night because we had so many new people. So I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I mean, half the people here last night were here for the first time. So, you know, as I've said many times, in 50 years of ministry, these meditation weekends are my favorite thing I've ever done. And the next one we're going to do will be first weekend of August, because that'll be Metron's 8th anniversary. It'll be the 6th and the 7th. I haven't decided where we're going to do it yet. I have to wait till I find my bliss about it, but I'll let you know in plenty of time. If you want to come to the next one, stop saying I'm going to come one of these days and just do it. Everything's a decision. And some of y'all should have been here this weekend, and you know, you just should have been. But for those of you who did come, we're going to have a wonderful time in a couple of hours. So I will see you then. All right. Happy Easter. Oh, those of you that want to, if you want to support Metron, go to bishinthenow.com. Like short for bishop, bishinthenow.com. And there's, you just click on a button, you can do it there. And if you want your tax statement, I think they put it off to the 18th now. You can do your taxes. You can get that there. If you want to give to me directly, I've got all the cash apps. And if you want to give to Ken for his birthday, he's got them too. And anyway, happy Easter. I love you. I'll see you in a few. Bye.